Hello, and welcome to the Schlubcast, the podcast for schlubs by schlubs. Podcast about schlubby hobbies, like video games and other schlubby hobbies. And that's it. There's only one schlubby hobby.
You know.
Welcome back to the video game corner of the Schlubcast. I'm Danny.
Hello, I'm Michael.
I'm Zach.
And we are here to have what I think is one of my favorite episodes we do every year, even though we took 2 years off. The Game of the Year discussion for 2021. Also, Mike's back in person. Welcome back.
Hello. Mike. I didn't get COVID. Believe it or not.
He's safe.
We're all back together.
Between my two roommates, I actually don't know how it happened.
Yeah, that's weird.
I got tested. Nothing came back. I mean, I guess like there's all false positives and false negatives, yeah. But like I didn't have any symptoms, so I don't know.
He's immune. He's patient zero for the cure.
Yeah, I'm patient zero. Here we go.
We need his blood.
Now I could really relate to Ellie from Last of Us 2.
Nice. So we're here to, you know, like I said last time, most people talk about their games of the years at the end of the year, right away at the beginning of the next year. We let a whole month pass by just to, like, mull things over, just to, you know, get it out of our systems, think about stuff.
Just to piss and moan at the end of it.
Yeah. And we're here, finally, to talk about our top five games of 2021. It is now 2022, obviously, and time inevitably marches on.
Yes.
And so we'll talk about our top five games, as well as our grab bag list that we did. When was our last game of the year?
It was 2019, like
2019, yeah. So just some grab bag topics just to talk about other games that might not be on the top five, just to give some credence to those. And then at the very end, we'll have some predictions for 2022, which we're already a month in, so we'll see. And then at the end of this year, we'll go back and we'll listen to what our predictions were, and we'll have a reckoning to see what how right or wrong we were.
All right.
Okay. So, 2021 came and went. Any thoughts just on the year of in gaming in general before we just jump into the list?
A real stinker for AAA games, but kind of a banger for indies.
Yeah, yeah. Which it seems to be the case every time it's not like a huge tentpole year.
Yeah.
It's like if there's not like six major releases, it's just like
indie games are thriving.
Yeah, yeah, which is just, they're always coming out. It's just that we just go back to that well because what else do we have to play?
Right.
Right. Yeah, I 2021 and 2020 are still blurs to me. And I don't,
as if they never happened.
Yeah. Like I was thinking, I'm like, man, what games did I play last year? And I couldn't really remember besides like a couple. I didn't really play a lot of games, I guess.
I had to like actually pull up like a list of like games that released in 2021.
Same. From I was like, oh, yeah, I was like, oh, yeah,
I remember that game. I never finished that game.
Yeah, the first half of the year was such a blur. Like I forgot that I played so many games like before June.
Yeah. I know.
And then because a lot of major releases came out like after the summer, so that kind of clouded
it's
everything.
It's that COVID fog.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah, did March happen last year?
Yeah,
and I don't know.
There was a moment where I thought I played Hades last year, but no, that was 2020. So
yes.
Like that was scary. I didn't like that as much.
At that,
that made things difficult.
That spooked me a little bit.
Mortality looked at me in the eye and said, "No, no Hades this year.
Stop it. Talk about something else."
You're a year older. Did you forget?
I don't want to talk about that. Yeah. News wise, a lot of big purchases. A lot of like. Yeah. A lot of fallout with Blizzard, Activision.
Yeah, that was a big mess over the year.
The birth of maybe some unions for video gaming. We'll see.
Hopefully.
If it lasts. And, yeah, overall, I know we always like to say that, like, 2017, 2018 were huge years. 2020 was pretty decent, but, like, there's always those middle years where there's not any major releases that we all played, except for, I guess, like, Halo, but that is like the tentpole release of the year, like like a Breath of the Wild or a God of War or something. But this year was definitely one of those in between years because we're gearing up for 2022, which is supposed to be a banger of a year for releases.
It's like we say that every year.
Yeah,
it's gonna be a pog year.
Big old pog.
Bunch of pogs. I hate. Okay. Anyway,
you like that word?
No. No. Okay, we've.
So right. Let's begin. I think
we've belabored the point. Anyway, game of the year for 2021. I think it was a decent year. I remember a lot of games that I played were pretty fun.
Yeah, no,
I tried out a lot of things, definitely. Mm-hmm. Some games I didn't finish. I tried to finish most games I played, but you know, it's like a book. You can't force yourself.
Right, and like even just with like the games that we played like on our monthly book club type stuff, like I played a couple of things that I probably wouldn't have played otherwise. So, yeah. Hey.
it is nice to like step out like that just to see what else might pique your interest.
I will say my list, my top five has more indie games than AAA games.
I had a feeling that this may be both your cases.
Mine's it's three AAA, two indie. Yeah. Well, let's get into it then.
All right. Should we stop with the number five and count down with each of us? We'll go in a circle.
Let's do it.
Number five.
And then my caveat, as always, is that this is like a cloud for me. My number one is definitely my number one of the year. This year, definitely a little harder because a lot of games were super close. Mm-hmm. But it's always like these games are in no particular order. It's just the way that I felt at the time. And like tomorrow, it might be completely mixed up. But it's definitely these five games.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I tried to order mine, but mine kind of follow the same thing more or less.
Right, yeah. Same. Like, my number four might be my number one tomorrow if I think about it.
It gets more clouded like the further away from one it gets.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
I think mine's pretty set how I like how mine is.
Yeah, me too, I'd say.
All right, Zach. What number is it?
Number five.
Six. Number six.
Number?
Number five.
Number five. Trying to get
that sound bite, Zach.
Number five.
I guess I'll start. My number five of 2021 game of that year, great, was Metroid Dread.
Okay.
I enjoyed that game in spite of what I might have come off across on that episode. I did enjoy it. I was just a little soured by it not being as unique as I expected it to be. Which I'm not sure why I did expect that, but I did enjoy it a lot. It was very fun. The controls were really good. And, it just felt like worth being there just because it was definitely one of the best games of the year for sure. Very polished. And I mean, it was just cool to play a Metroid game.
Yeah. After so long, like, especially like on like a home console. Like, I agree. Mm-hmm.
What about you, Mike?
My number five was Mario Party Superstars.
Nice.
That's a good one. That came out last year?
Yeah, it did. Came out October of this past year. Actually, nearly around the same time as Metroid Dread. I've had a ton of fun with this game. Like,
did the new maps come out yet?
No, there's been no announcement of new
I thought there
maps.
Were.
I thought so too, and then I looked into it. There hasn't been.
Damn.
I'm like secretly hoping, I know this is like a future segment, but like I'm really hoping we get a Nintendo Direct soon and just... That just kind of makes its way in there somehow.
We gotta play more of that.
We do. It's kind of hard to get us all together in one go to do that, but
especially when it's only like four player, really.
Exactly. It's
and
hard
games
to,
aren't that short.
No, they're not. But like a 15 turn game is like an hour, a little bit more than that. But yeah, that's my number five. Really fun game. It's really good for friends. I've actually had a lot of fun also playing it with like some of the streamers that I watch.
That's cool. Nice.
I don't want to say it's easy to get into a lobby. Like you have to be like fast on the password, but it's really fun. Like the online is actually pretty serviceable for a Nintendo game. Like
that's saying something.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. That's like wow, that actually makes bog standard. How great.
Yeah. Wow. I enjoyed that too. Like I remember when the first Switch Mario Party came out. I was just like,
I didn't think that one was that bad either.
It was definitely fun, but it felt like
not very gimmicky.
Yes, and
it felt like not. It needed more stuff to it.
A little empty. And then this one, when we played it, I was actually having a good time.
It was fun.
Very very well thought out. And then like those old maps are just good.
So. Just good design in general.
We gotta play that more.
We will. All right, Zach, what's your number five?
Mine is Loop Hero.
Nice.
I knew that was gonna be somewhere on your list.
That game's awesome.
And
that's it.
End of discussion. Shut up.
Need I say more? No, it's a good game. They added. They did say they're going to be adding more stuff.
Oh, really?
That was a couple months ago.
Really?
But I don't know when that's going to come out. But no, I sunk a lot of time into that game. It's just like the perfect. I want to say like grindy. Well, yeah, it is kind of grindy, but it's
like an idle game kind of almost.
Yeah, it's
an auto battler.
Yeah,
there you go.
It's I don't know. It's just it's one of those games where I've never played a game that's like that before.
Right.
It's very unique.
It's an auto battler in the sense where there's not a moment where you're staring at the screen and you're like, why am I doing this?
Yeah.
Right. Like, why is this just running? Because there's a lot of agency still that you can do with all the different options you can take.
And the thing I liked about it too is like with most games that are kind of like that, when you add, you want to always add more stuff. But in this game, you kind of want to manage what you're doing because you can screw yourself over if you just go ham.
Overflow it, yeah.
But no, it's super cool. Like all the synergies and there's a lot of hidden things that you just discover throughout the game. And soundtrack's really cool.
And a very satisfying gameplay loop.
Wow.
Loop.
We got there.
I would say.
So, number four. Danny, number four. We're breaking this off. Right.
My number four. So I don't know if this is breaking a rule, but I chose a DLC for number four.
I technically did. My number one's a DLC, so go for it.
Oh, nice.
I don't agree with any of that. So,
well, Zach, I'm sorry, but you had to find
majority
out.
Rules.
It is the Outer Wilds Echoes of the Eye.
Nice.
That, okay, so Outer Wilds is fantastic.
Outer Wilds, it's the best game I've never played.
Dude, I really want you guys to play it.
I
want to
play it, but like, I've watched it on stream, so it's like I've been kind of like spoiled somewhat, but like I still kind of want to play it just to be like, just to actually like see it and view it for myself.
It is something to experience as well. Right. But for the DLC Echoes of the Eye, it's like all of Outer Wilds condensed into one thing and like really hyper focused with a really cool story, really cool like discoveries, exploration. And Zach, I know that you were having trouble getting into Outer Wilds.
Mm-hmm.
I would argue that Echoes of the Eye is a better first thing to do before playing Outer Wilds.
Like, I would agree.
It gets you into that mindset of like learning every loop and discovering more, but it's only one location, so you don't feel a scatterbrain. You're trying to jump around to the different planets in the base game. Mm-hmm. It's just one location in Echoes, and it's so cool, and it's actually kind of scary. There's some really freaky moments.
Yeah.
And it was just consistently, my mind was getting blown by like what I was seeing and where I was. And it's so good.
Yeah.
And the revelations are just fascinating. And it was just like a very focused Outer Wild experience that I kind of wish I did this one first, because it took me a little bit to get into Outer Wilds, the base game.
Mm-hmm.
It like I had to really hit my head against it before it clicked for me. But if I had done this first, it would have clicked immediately. So enjoyed that.
My only criticism as someone who only has watched it, is that it does seem to end a bit abruptly.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
But other than that, like, every other aspect is utterly fantastic.
That's why, because the main ending of the story is just the base game, because that's where like the big payoff is. Mm-hmm. So that's why I feel like this is a good just interstitial like
starting point
story. Yeah, it's just something else to experience on top of the rest of the game. All right, Mike, your number four.
My number four is Guilty Gear Strive.
Oh, wow, nice.
Yeah. I've had a ton of fun with this game. I haven't played it too much in recent times. I can't really say why that is. I think it's like a bit of like anxiety of trying to go back to the game after like not playing it for a bit. I don't know if that's like a fighting game thing or if that's just me being a little baby.
Just want to be rusty.
A little bit of that. And like, just like with all fighting games where it's like, or anything competitive, where it's like, if you're not like constantly putting yourself into it, you're behind.
Yeah.
And
it feels bad when you try to jump back in.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Sorry.
That's how it was with Smash for currently.
Yeah. at this current time. Yeah. But still, I love it. Like, the visuals of this game are fantastic.
I had soundtrack. Fun that one time I played it with you.
Did you? Cool.
It was cool. Like,
I almost gifted it to you when it was on sale last time.
Jesus.
Because it was relatively cheap, and I really like. I feel like that would be like the, like if I knew someone who like I saw and talked to you like, you know, frequently, I would play it more often. Mm. But
there goes Zach.
I like fighting games.
Get back in that fighting game world.
Oh God, I can't go back.
I would say nowadays it's like on like.
I did like Fighters though. Fighters is a really feels good.
Same company.
Yeah, right. I noticed that. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Arc System Works.
Fighting style is not completely similar, but you could definitely
tell.
You
can see the roots are there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially with the animation style and how the characters feel when they move around.
See, Mike, this is why I'm glad you're here, because you're going to have games on your list that I would not even have thought about or considered. So it's cool, the perspectives.
Yeah, and it's the same with you guys. Like, I know you guys are big, like, indie fiends. So, like, it's cool to find, like these games I've heard of, but, like, I always get these fresh perspectives when I talk to you guys about them.
There we go. Good discussions to be had. All right, Zach.
My number four game is Death's Door.
Nice. Nice, nice.
I'm really happy that we played that for the book club game, because it was awesome.
Yeah, please refer to our book club discussion for all of Zach's feelings.
That's all my feelings on that game. It's just all around. I just had a good time with it.
Mm-hmm.
The story, the gameplay. It was fun.
Just a very comfy game where it just the world it throws you in was just very, very fun to be in, and
it didn't like stay too long unless you did the after game stuff, but
which in that case it definitely overstayed.
It kind of did, but other than that, it didn't. So
Very nice.
I liked it. It was fun.
All right, my number three is Guardians of the Galaxy.
Ooh, you played that?
I played it.
Nice.
I somehow fit it in between... Well, I played in January, so before this discussion.
Well, that's fine.
But I cheated. But it did come out last year, mm-hmm. and I just heard so much hype about it. A bunch of like people... Yeah, a lot of...
I heard it was better than it had any right to be for a movie.
Exactly. That's what it was... Like, everyone saw Avengers come out and be terrible, and everyone's like, yeah, that... All right, that game sucks. And then when they announced Guardians of the Galaxy, everyone assumed, rightfully so, because of the track record, it's the same company.
That's what I thought.
It's like, this game is going to be bad, too. Guardians. And but then, like, it got really good reviews, and everyone was saying the story's really good, and the gameplay was surprisingly fun, and very deep characters, and, like, you know what? I'll give it a shot. I'll see what the hype was about. And... It was actually really fun.
Cool.
It felt like an Uncharted game where there's a lot of cool character moments. The characters are all fun and likable. The gameplay, there's a lot of critiques that the shooting, because you only play as Star-Lord, so he just fires his guns. He's less interesting than the rest of the Guardians, but you do control their abilities. It kind of gets a little samey, but I felt it didn't overstay its welcome. It's just kind of like Uncharted. You just keep shooting.
Right.
You just don't really get tired of it.
It's a vehicle to progress the story. And
exactly.
Yeah.
And the story was pretty interesting. Like, it takes you to a lot of really cool looking places. It's a very good looking game. A lot of vibrant colors and everything. And it was just cool. It was a cool game because the characters are fun. They're funny. It was actually a pretty funny game. And it had like some of the best like lip syncing like animation in any game I've ever played where I was like,
even more than Last of Us?
Yeah, it was like it was on par with it.
Oh wow.
I was like, damn, this is like I'm like, well, some cutscenes maybe not, but like it was very close to that. Where I was like, I was just sucked in because you see
it felt like it was a movie.
Yeah, it felt like a movie. And honestly it felt like a better movie than the actual Guardians movie.
I believe it.
And it was just a blast. I was very pleasantly surprised. And I wonder if it's only on my list because it was a surprise. Like if this had not come out before or after Avengers, would everyone have been so high on it? But I think maybe it was pretty fun. Guardians.
Well, nice. That one's always been like in like the back of my like, do I try this kind of game? Like I saw some gameplay. I'm like, this kind of looks like not the best gameplay, but not the worst by any means.
Right.
Like,
it's not boring by any means, and it is cool because it's so fast paced. Just cool to get lost into it. And I mean, if you're just into a nice linear action story,
then hey, that's for you.
Yeah, that's a perfect game for it.
Maybe it goes on sale. Is it on PC?
Yeah.
Yeah. If it goes on sale, I might pick it up.
I think I picked it up for like $30.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's already dropping. So
that's insane.
Pretty good.
All right. Well, my number three is Super Mario 3D World plus Bowser's Fury.
I forgot about that game.
That came out February last year.
Wow, dang. I still have to play that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah, we all need to play it. We talked about this previously where you need to do like a four-player couch co-op with that game.
I would love that.
That's
fun.
So fun. I might try to organize that somehow because that game was a ton of fun. Like,
just have a Nintendo day where we play that and Mario Party.
Ooh.
We'll start mad and then we'll be happy with, or we'll stay mad when we play Mario 3D Land.
Then we get pizza World. And act like we're like 20.
I mean, I'm in.
Wait, you guys are 20.
Barely. I'm not too far behind you, old man.
I'm so old.
But yeah, 3D World, you know, as a re-release, like, They didn't do much to change it, but that's fine. It didn't need to. That game is perfect in my eyes. But the Bowser Fury attachment was actually a lot of fun.
It was, okay.
It felt like it was a standalone Mario game.
Oh, wow.
Like, compacted. Like,
nice.
It was
one giant island, wasn't it?
It's like a big series of islands. Like, so in that sense, it felt very similar to, like, Sunshine.
Right.
And even had some kind of, like, Sunshine elements to it. But it's all like, it's all very like one contiguous thing. There's no loading screens. There's no like this and that. You're just traveling from island to island, finding shine sprites or like, I can't remember what they are. Were they shine sprites? It's been nearly a year. But I don't know. It's a lot of fun. Cause there's all these, it felt very like Odyssey in a Sunshine playground.
Yeah. Yeah.
And all of the physics were from 3D World, which I love the physics in 3D World. All the movement feels great. And,
yeah.
Tons of movement options. It feels really good just to move around.
Am I wrong in saying that I liked the physics in 3D World more than Odyssey? Were they different?
They were very different.
Okay.
And I don't think you'd be wrong to say that.
Okay.
It's because that's purely a subjective thing,
right?
Like,
yeah,
it'd be one thing if you said it was better, because I'd say like they play very differently, right. in my opinion.
I wasn't sure if they were the same or not, because I kind of just lump all the Mario games.
No, they're very different.
Okay,
especially with like Cappy and the Odyssey and stuff. Cappy offered a lot of like in depth kind of like technical movement, but at the same time it was also kind of like, I don't want to say it was sloppy, but it was kind of slippery sometimes.
Yes, yeah,
kind of like very 64.
Yeah,
but. Yeah, that's my number three. I thought the re-release with Bowser Fury on top what made it a very good game to me.
That's cool.
Very worthwhile package.
It's always good that they add like a lot extra to the game without making you pay for it.
Right. I mean, it was a full $60 purchase, but to me it was worth it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it comes with that.
Yeah.
Sometimes Nintendo does good things.
Sometimes.
Sometimes. All right. We're in the top three. Well, even though, I mean, you guys said that, but here we are.
Zach's having a hard time with numbers right now.
I don't know, man. I don't know what numbers are anymore. My top three is, or number three, is Resident Evil Village.
Nice. I was hoping, okay.
That game was awesome.
It did look really cool.
I really liked 6, or Biohazard.
That was 7.
Was it? Oh, yeah, this one was 8. See? That's what I'm talking about with numbers.
Yeah.
Whatever. The one that came up before this one is really good.
All those rogues are going to your brain.
The previous Resident Evil was good.
Yeah.
But now the current Resident Evil.
This one took, like, the story of the last one and just went just nuts, which I love. Because the last one kind of had, like, a theming to it of, you know, you're like, stuck in this, like, crazy family's swampy estate sort of thing.
True.
Not hate wrong. When that happens, man.
But this one, when I saw it, I thought it kind of just took place all in that castle.
Right, because that's what all the...
It was all focused on that.
All of like, the marketing looked like it was all based around
with
the castle.
Lady Domitresk and all that. But you do so much, and it gets so like insanely crazy and like borderline hilarious.
Like the older Resident Evil games.
Probably like how honestly the older one,
like 4, like ramped so crazy like towards the end of the game.
That's what I love with this one. It just goes nuts and does whatever the hell it wants.
That's cool.
That's kind of how I felt about like the first person Resident Evils, is that they're kind of like they capture different essences of timelines of the Resident Evil franchise. So like Resident Evil 7 Biohazard really kind of like captured the feel of Resident Evil 1, in my opinion. It's very like puzzle heavy. The enemies are
kind of creepy.
Very creepy. The enemy, like, there's not a ton of enemy variety. It's just enough to kind of get you there and get that kind of like scary horror feeling to it.
And isn't it just like all tight locations?
It's all tight locations for the most part. Yeah. Whereas Resident Evil 8 captures like the Resident Evil 4.
It just expands on it. It turns into this huge open world almost.
There's a huge variety of enemies this time. And like
all the boss battles are so fun and cool.
Yeah, and it's like some of the puzzle elements suffer because of that. But I feel like it makes it like its own like... It makes it so that it just wasn't Resident Evil 7 again.
I mean, the puzzles there. Some of them were kind of difficult to... They kind of lost me with some of them. Thankfully, Sigma walked me through.
What?
Yeah. Sigma walked me through like all of it. So I didn't really get stuck. But if he wasn't there, I definitely would have got stuck a lot. But no, like the whole game was just so fun. Just the gameplay and the story and how they are lining up for like the next game to come out is going to be intense. And... I don't know.
Yeah, I wonder what they're going to do with that.
I don't know. It'll be interesting. I don't know if they're just going to follow his daughter.
Probably, because that is the cliffhanger that they're kind of leading to.
Or maybe he'll just play as Chris now. I don't know.
Maybe. That'd be an idea.
But, I have been meaning to play those games these last two, just because I love Resident Evil 4 and the remake of 2.
Like
they seem really
Biohazard
fun.
Is good in itself, but if you really liked 4... Village is so good.
Yeah, Village awesome. Just feels like 4 in a first person.
And it looks really good too. Like, they're just really good looking games.
Do I need to play the last one to understand this one?
If you care about the story whatsoever, but if you don't, not really.
You might be a little confused, but you don't have to.
Nice. Let me give you the update. Ethan has a wife and kid.
Okay,
pretty much.
You are up to date.
Very cool.
Nothing else truly matters from 7.
That's cool. I was hoping that game would be on your list just because I know you.
It
really
was super fun.
So. All right, our top two now. My number two on my list is Inscription.
Nice.
Just jumping the gun a bit because we haven't had our discussion yet.
But soon.
But, spoilers, I really like this game. Inscription was crazy. And just a very unique and creative game. Like, it takes the idea of, like, a card, like, battle game, just, like...
any Magic the Gathering, but like, Hearthstone-type game.
Like, know? Slay the Spire, like, you're drafting, you're building decks, you're doing, like, roguelite elements. But it like, tilts it on its head and, like, does all these weird meta things with it, and the atmosphere is just so spooky. So spooky, so delicious, and I loved the mystery behind everything. I couldn't stop playing it. It was just a blast, and just how, again, just how creative it is. Like, this guy was, like, trying to figure out all the different elements he could take for card games and, like, kind of poke fun at other card games while also, like, capitalizing on a lot of their mechanics. And
that did make them so great, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it was great. Everyone should play this game because it's pretty short, and it's just, I mean, if you like card games, obviously, but even then, if you just like weird, spooky, meta...
Ghost in the Machine type horror.
Yeah, atmospheric games. This game is definitely... And it playing it at the end of the year, it was almost my number one. Like, I had to really think about which one I want to be my number one.
Put one in front of the other and somehow choose which child is your favorite.
Yeah, just because I like games that are unique, and I like indie games like that that try to push the envelope while doing something cool. So, but yeah, my number two, Inscription.
All right. I would say my number two is Metroid Dread.
Nice.
I loved the snot out of this game. Very well put together Metroidvania. Very true to its roots. Has a lot of upsides. Has a couple downsides. Definitely not a flawless game by any means, but like, it was pretty much everything that I wanted out of a Metroid game.
Yeah. It was very fun, and it was cool just to be Samus again.
Yeah, and just, they did a very good job portraying Samus how I personally wanted her to be. Mm-hmm. Like,
especially after Other M, where it was character assassination.
Absolutely. Like, and I realize that sounds like, as like, you know, the cis white male, like, that's how I want her to be projected, like, or portrayed. It's like, in my mind, I definitely see her as like this like action heroine, and like...
Yeah, just like a badass.
Yeah, like
she's not relying on other people. Exactly, can just do her own thing. It doesn't have to. Her character doesn't have to depend upon other
people. She's her own person.
And like even though like Adam was like constantly talking her down the entire time, she's just like, yeah, whatever. I'm still gonna shoot things. Mm-hmm. Shut up, Adam.
Shut up, stupid computer. All right.
Yeah.
Very nice. So, Zach,
my number three game.
Oh my Stop. God. You were memeing at this point.
My number two game is Halo Infinite.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Oh, Zach.
We did it again. I did.
All right.
Halo Infinite is a fun game. The campaign was really, really fun. I still play the multiplayer all the time.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a solid game. I still have some weird issues with the multiplayer, how they handle stuff with Battle Pass and microtransactions, but that's just not that game. That's every game at this point.
Yeah.
But no, yeah, no, I love that game. I don't think I'll replay the campaign by myself again, because I don't really do that with most games anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But I might try it again once the co-op comes out, because I think that sounds kind of fun and crazy.
I definitely will try that again, and maybe more stuff will come out too. Yeah, like maybe. Campaign wise, we'll see.
They're actually doing campaign DLCs. They have confirmed that.
Oh yeah, they are doing that.
Maybe by then.
Yeah, maybe.
Who knows? Something fresh.
That'd be cool. So yeah, Halo Infinite was a fun game.
All right, here we are. We made it. Our number one games of 2021. And my number one game...
Hit me, Danny.
Coming off of what Zach was saying, is Halo Infinite.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. That's actually really surprising for me. Like, not even like...
And it's crazy, too, because like, you don't even play the multiplayer.
I don't, and I... This is my first Halo game I ever played all the way through.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, in terms of, like, my criteria for what I pick to be my game of the year is what games obviously push the envelope, are creative, visually cool, and, like, just not trying to do the same thing. Halo Infinite was, I guess, some of the same. Maybe I'm painted because I didn't play the older games, but my number one thing is how much fun I had with the game. And this game I had the most fun with. When I think of anything else I played in the rest of the year, I had a blast every time I opened up this game.
Mm-hmm.
And every time I went to I cleared an FOB or I went to a base, even though some of them were very similar to each other.
Yeah, I mean, it was slightly repetitive, but it was still fun to do.
Just like that 15-second loop of combat was so fun, and the freaking grappling hook was amazing, and it really made the game better than it should just be called to be.
Grapple Infinite.
Grapple Infinite. Halo Grapple.
Grapple Shot Infinite.
And I had such a blast, and there were so many moments I was just laughing, and like I felt like it was challenging, but also really rewarding for all the weird creativity stuff. It reminded me of how I felt when I played Breath of the Wild, where like, I'm going to try it from this angle. I'm going to throw this and then jump over here and blow that up. Right. And, that failed.
Definitely gave you a lot of freedom to do your own thing.
Like every FOB like felt like similar, yes, but like the like amount of ways you could ever approach one is so different. Mm-hmm. And that's what's cool about it.
Yeah, and the game does not stifle what you want to do. It's like, hey, you do want to do this? Try it. Maybe it'll work. Try grappling onto that ship that's flying over you. Try throwing this barrel over this wall and see if it blows up something.
Do you want a tank? Okay.
Yeah, here's a tank for every mission if you want at this point. Who cares? Just do whatever you want. The game always wants you to feel really powerful.
Pure
really,
agency.
Yeah, and you could tell they want you to have a good time. And
yeah, that was a very solid campaign. It was definitely worth the wait.
Yeah, I thought it was fun.
So yeah.
I'm just curious what you're going to say about Halo 3 and Reach.
I know.
Those are good games, too.
This makes me excited to play the other ones, because I know they won't hit the level of polish as this game, just because...
Definitely years, slower. Like, yeah, there's no grapple shot. I hate to inform you that there's no grapple shot.
Yeah, I know. But hey,
or sprinting, for that matter.
I've been playing the first...
Not for a while.
I know. But I remember games back then that they didn't have sprinting, and I can forgive that, so like I'm just remembering what it was at the time. I'm appreciating, like, I'm playing Combat Evolved now, and I'm just appreciating it for... I'm putting myself in the mindset of 2000, 2001. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm like, damn, this game is actually pretty good.
It didn't need sprinting.
Compared to the other games that came out at that time, it's like, wow, this is so ahead of its time.
It makes me wish I had an Xbox at the time, because what I was playing, like, Need for Speed and, like, other games that were out on the PlayStation 2, and I'm like, nothing compared to that.
Mm-mm. My first Halo game was, like, Halo 2 at my friend's house, because I never had an Xbox until Halo 3. But, yeah.
So yeah,
I want you to finish Combat Evolved and then Halo 2. Uh-huh. But when you get to Halo 3, I want you to do 4-player co-op with me, Nico, and someone else, Zach, Tim, someone, whoever has it.
I would love that. That would be cool. That sounds really fun.
Can you do 4-player with Reach too?
I think so. I'm pretty sure. I don't know about 4, but like Halo 4.
Yeah.
I don't know. But yeah,
ODST.
I think so. ODST because it's based off the same Halo 3 engine.
Oh yeah, that's true.
That game's fun too.
Yeah,
I'm down for
it. I'd play that because I haven't played the campaigns in those games since they came out.
I haven't played ODST's campaign since I solo legendaried it, and I'm like, I'm never touching this again. And then I lied because I want to touch it again.
Here we are.
I must touch it. Well, stay tuned, everybody, because that's probably going to happen soon.
Yeah,
definitely. I mean, I'm going to try to. I'm like, I come back to that game every so often, so I'm taking my time with these.
Don't shovel it down your throat.
Yeah, just too much Halo all at once, but. Yeah, I'm surprised as much as you are that Halo was my game of the year, just because I was like, I'm sure it'll be fun, but then when I played that multiplayer, I'm like, hold on, this shooting is very fun.
Yeah, this feels very good.
I can't wait to try a campaign with this. So,
yeah, the one thing I liked about the campaign, like with the enemy design, which is like it's the same enemy design it has been, but like with the different types of guns now, I had a lot of I like to call them John Wick moments.
Mm-hmm.
Where like I'm just like popping grunts left and right, and
you're
like,
juggling guns. You're
you're grappling the nearest fusion coil, throwing it at a brute, and just
it's all the dialogue in that game is perfect. Yeah, it's so funny.
Yeah, every battle feels alive because like there's never a quiet moment.
Right,
even if you're like hiding, waiting for your shields to regen or something, or you're trying to be sneaky. Like you're always hearing battlefield chatter. Mm-hmm.
And those
really
missions
cool.
where you start doing work, and then the Halo theme starts playing. You're like,
at the risk of sounding hyperbolic, I would say that this is what makes like games like this is what video games
were meant to be.
It's like it's just fun, unadulterated fun, and just have a blast from the moment you started. It's like no chaff, pretty much. Yeah,
it definitely did what it wanted to do.
Yeah. All right, Mike.
My number one. Is Final Fantasy 14 Endwalker. Oh, who could have guessed?
Nice. Our Final Fantasy boy, resident Final Fantasy expert, Michael.
This was a banger of an expansion.
That's what I hear. And, like, just cut you off a little bit, just how everyone's been flocking to this game, and, like, this must be amazing.
Yeah, I mean, it's something to witness. It's something to witness. It's definitely something to behold, even. Like the story is not going to be for everyone, obviously, but it was for me, and it was for pretty much everyone I know. Like, and the story isn't flawless, but it is engaging, like all the way through. there were some slow spots, but there were also like, but like every slow spot was followed by some like crazy like next reveal that like happened, and I don't know. The story was just so good. All of the environments were mind blowing to me. Like, I don't know. I can't stop playing it.
I still listen to the theme song. That's the best theme song.
Do you really?
It's so good.
Yeah. The music, yeah, the music's very good in that game.
I still wish again. If I had infinite time, I would play that game. But I know I just have no time to play that game, like, in order to actually accomplish things.
Yeah, and it's like, if you just focus on the story and just, like, enjoy it for the story, like, you can almost play it as if it were a single-player game. Like, basically, the only thing you need other players for is just, like, the dungeons and stuff. And, like, if you don't want to do those with randos, like, you got, like, a bunch of friends who play it who would absolutely jump in and play with you.
Mm-hmm. So, my question, like with other MMOs, is this expansion like only content you can get when you have like hit end game? So if you were a new player, if you just started right now, when would you experience this new stuff? Or is it like all encompassing, like things that it brought to all of the game that you can get right away?
That's a good question. I would say most of it, I want to say it because not all of it's end game, like, but like the majority of it is. It is later in that point, so like
you have to get through the other expansions.
It is one big like contiguous story.
Okay,
so like,
but has it like brought polish to the other previous stuff too? So it's like it improved the entire game. It uplifted everything all at once.
I don't think so. Because they've been doing like quality of life changes throughout the years and throughout the months.
That's
like,
true. It's an iterative process.
Yeah, because like they don't just like drop an expansion and come back in 2.5 years. They drop an expansion and then every like 3 or 4 months they add content patches where they add like new fights, do quality of life things, balance changes. They add this and that, like Shadowbringers, like the previous expansion, like they did do a ton of quality of life things over the 2.5 years of that expansion. Like they reworked the main story. They got rid of a lot of the excess, like go here and fetch quests, like, you know, nonsense. Like they made the story a lot like shorter. Like I want to say they removed about 2.5 hours of grind content just to,
oh wow, nice.
That was previously just used to fill time basically. And they added like a new game plus type like situation where like you can go back and enjoy the story beats like by expansion by content update. It's
okay,
really cool.
You can see it all again.
Yeah,
nice. Okay, yeah, that it's a fascinating thing. Like I always see it from the periphery because I know I tried it, but I didn't bounce off of it for any negative reason. It's just time.
Right,
in fact, time was a factor. But
yeah, you have to be willing. And honestly, you have to be willing to, because I like when I was first getting into the game, I definitely dropped it a bunch of times because that was also around the time when we were like really heavy into Overwatch.
Oh, right, yeah.
So like I was like, my options were, I can play this game by myself or I can play Overwatch with all of my friends.
Right, it competes for your time.
It does,
right, yeah.
And going back to it, like going back and forth to it is very easy nowadays, especially like, if you have the free trial. Like the free trial goes until like you're level 60. Like,
oh wow, yeah, you're right.
So like, there's no shame in coming back to it. Like, yeah, just like do it whenever it comes to your mind. But.
But just the like the success story that this game has been, where it launched, relaunched, and then like
it's just been blowing up ever since.
Yeah, it's so popular that they like too many people were playing it. Or like, all right, guys.
Yeah, I mean, they only just recently started resuming sales.
Right. Yeah,
Jesus.
It's like
that's a good problem to have.
Exactly.
Like,
exactly.
It's literally suffering from success.
They they open their doors and then just money comes in. They're drawing.
All right,
hang
on.
We can't get to the servers. There's too much money.
Too much money.
Well, and then like just very recently, like I want to say like just this past week, they opened up a new data center for Oceania. Oh, so now Australians can leave like the Japanese and like West Coast like United States data centers.
That's insane.
And actually be on their own stuff.
That's crazy.
That's so cool.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, I'm glad you're having a good time with it, because that is...
Yeah, it's a lot of fun, especially nowadays, because like, I'm in what's called a static now, which is like where you like do like the end-game content.
Oh, right, okay.
Like, it's very much... It's like a raid group. It's like a guild, kind of, but like... Yeah, but not to go too far into it. And it's a lot of fun. We gather out every Tuesday and Thursday, and we're trying to do what's called, you know, blind progression, where we're not trying to rely too much on guides and stuff.
You just kind of figure it out yourself.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah, we're
that's
trying to
cool.
figure it out ourselves.
Cool, yeah.
So like that's what all my streams have been for the past like so many.
Just very organic.
Yeah, very organic. Like we don't let ourselves like get frustrated too much. Like if we're smashing our head against the wall for like too long, we
just
will look up a
stop
mechanic
for the day or something.
Yeah, like we'll stop it, or like we'll look up at like just that singular mechanic. We won't
right,
watch the whole video. Like
yeah.
It's a lot of fun. That'd be kind of fun. It's a good balance. Cool.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun.
It's kind of like figuring out the raids and like Destiny and stuff.
Kind of, yeah. Very similar.
All right. Yeah. What's it called again?
Endwalker.
Endwalker, okay.
Because like...
Is this like the end of the story?
It's the end of this part of this story, like...
So they're going to start like a new story now.
Yeah, basically. Wow. So because they want the game to continue because it's, you know, obviously very successful.
Yeah, they're not going to stop anytime soon.
And we're done. Sure, I think we're done now.
But like, so like the overall story of like up until this point has been like the tale of Hydaelyn and Zodiark, which are like Hydaelyn is like the planet that you're on, and Zodiark is like the big I'm evil man who's gonna smash Hydaelyn and
yeah. Okay.
And of course that's a major oversimplification. Like,
no, yeah, I understand.
As you can imagine,
that's the gist of it.
Yeah, but that is the gist of it. Like, like that's what these four expansions and base story have told over the past 10 years.
Nice,
cool. Yeah, I remember I used to have a friend when I was in like middle school and we were playing like Halo 3 and Burning Crusade.
Mm.
His brother used to play like the OG Final Fantasy Online.
Oh, 11?
Yeah, the one that was not good. Wow. So,
all right, Zach.
My number one is Inscription.
There it is. We flipped again. Every time,
never fails. I'm with Danny. Where I played Inscription in January, but that game is so one of a kind. Mm. It's so good. And I am really not that big of a fan of like deck building games and card games.
Yeah, I was surprised. I love this game. Yeah.
Did you play Slay the Spire?
Yeah, I mean, I played my fair share of Slay the Spire and Hearthstone and all that, but this one, like...
This one hit you on a different level?
Well, it was like, the card game was fun, but it was just like the overarching story and everything that he's doing with the game and how it changes and how the card game itself, like, changes and the rules change. And
the overall pacing of the game is very well done.
He just introduces new mechanics, and it's just so cool and so fun. It was awesome.
Yeah,
I won't get too much into it because we still have to talk about it. But
yeah, we'll get into an in-depth discussion for
it. Was just a very just super cool and unique game, and like Danny was saying, every time I was playing it, I just had so much fun with it until it was done.
You just want to see what else will happen with the game.
Like, yeah.
You can't wait
to see. I wanted certain parts of the game to last longer because I was like having fun with the card game, and it was awesome.
If there's any negative I can give that game...
You wish there was more?
I wish there was more.
Well, I mean, they have the Casey's mod now where it's basically just a roguelike of the first part of the game.
That is cool. I'm glad they did that.
I hope they expand on that to include all the other...
Yeah. My favorite is the like the 8-bit second part.
Right.
When like you can actually like make your deck and there's like so many different mechanics, and it was so awesome.
Very cool. All right. Those are our games of 2021.
Woo.
Pretty diverse list. Like what did we even share across this? I guess it's just
Halo, Inscription,
Metroid. Well, you didn't have Dread on yours.
Yeah, cuz if we were to pick a game of the year for this podcast, what would we agree upon?
I don't think we could.
Yeah, there is no average here.
None of my games are included on Mike's list.
Yeah. And we share like two. Halo Inscription, yeah. Well,
that's cool though.
Yeah. That is.
So I think we'll agree Mario Party Superstars then.
Yeah. I think that's the Schlubcast game of the year.
Group game of the year. I'm done for that.
All right, there it is. Well, there you have it. That was our list top five games of 2021. But now that's not all. We've got more for you, folks.
We ain't done yet.
We've got our grab bag list that we curated years ago when Schlubcast pre-hiatus. And these are just some other topics of games we want to discuss. Some random ideas for maybe games not on our top five list. Games that maybe we want to bring up for better or for worse. Just stuff that happened and we want to talk about it. And our first one is the honorable mention, which... Well, consider this our our number six game. Like, almost made the top five, but for some reason, one way or another, did not. And I had a lot of games that I wanted to put as my honorable mention.
Wait, can we do more than one, or does it have to be one?
We can do more than one.
We run loose and...
Yeah, there's no rules.
Here. I have three, but technically it
three.
Probably should be two.
Madness!
Well, I put I put four.
Oh my god!
But there's one that is definitely the number five.
Yeah. Okay. At least number six. Okay.
My definite number six is Valheim.
Okay. And, that came out this year, did it?
Yeah. I mean, it's still early access, they're still slowly putting things out. And I haven't played it since early in this year, like in February or March. I'm waiting until it's 1.0, which who knows when that'll be.
Yeah, that's right. Might just be like 7 days.
Yeah. Exactly. Just infinitely alpha. But I love Valheim. It was just very comfy. Like, the music in that game and the art style is just so relaxing, so atmospheric. It's just like it's like a warm blanket. You just go into this world. There's nothing to worry about.
And just be a Viking.
Just be a Viking. And things are kind of aggro, but they don't have to be. You can just kind of be in your own little base, and there's a nice clarinet playing in the background. Listen to that clarinet. It's so nice. And it just, like, the game is less than a gig in size. Like, how'd they do this?
Yeah, I remember when you guys were playing it, I'm like, this game looks really good for being a gig.
it's wild. And I just had a great time with it, and I can't wait to pick it up again just to see what else to add to it. It just it took all the elements of, like, a survival, like, crafting game and cut out stuff that's annoying. Like, you can go out without, like, eating. You don't have to eat all the time, but it definitely makes it better for you if you do. It's just, like, increases your stamina. But it's never forcing you to do anything. It's just kind of a very relaxing crafting survival game. And it looks nice, so.
Nice.
Enjoy that. I guess my other honorable mentions.
Just get through all of them.
The Artful Escape, that was the, like, indie art house game of, like, just, like, a story game. Kind of reminded me of not Life is Strange, that other indie game that looks like Paper Cut, where, like, the people are walking on a 2D plane. Oh, I already forgot what it was. But anyway, that's just, like, you're some, like, indie guitarist, and you go on, like, a space adventure, and he, like, realizes what he really likes, and it was cool. It struck a chord with me, haha. And the music's really good, and the art style is fantastic. It's just really cool. It's a vibe.
Good experience.
Yes. Nice. Before Your Eyes, that was the game, another really short indie game. It's probably like 2 hours long. You could definitely play it in one sitting. That's the one where it's like a first-person game, and you control when scenes change through blinking. It has a webcam function that reads your eyes, and every time you blink, it changes the scene. And it's a trip. It's depressing. It's a good story. It's sad, but it's also just an experience on its own. Just like,
that sounds horrifying.
Yeah, I guess it's not like every time you blink it changes the scene, but it's like there's a little, like, marker that'll show up and say, when you blink now, the scene will change.
That's so wild to me.
So it's like you're basically living through the life of a person. It's very, like, cartoony and, like, artistically drawn and everything, but you're, like, living through a person's life from, like, when they're born to, like, later on in their years, and you're, like, every time you blink, it, like, jumps a year, and so, like, you're zipping through this life. It was crazy. Definitely an experience. And then last honorable mention was Airborne Kingdom, which I love city builder games. And this one came out at the very beginning of the year. And it might have been actually the very end of 2020, but I played it this year. And a cool city builder where you're, like, on a, like, steampunk-style floating city, and you build buildings on your city, and you fly around to, like, get technologies, and it uses, like, a balance system. You can't put too many buildings on one side.
It'll tip over.
It'll tilt over, and you can't put too many engines on a different side, because then it'll just, like, spin. Yeah, it was...
that sounds kind of fun.
It was cool. It was very cool.
It's like Fronks.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God.
And it was cool. Also, just really aesthetically... Like, these... All of these games in my album mentions are all, like, aesthetically, artistically pleasing. So
cool. Okay.
Pretty nice. Cool.
I like those games. Are like that, like Gris and all that.
All right, Mike.
All right. I kept my grab bag list pretty succinct. My honorable mention is Inscription.
Nice. Nice.
I feel like it was too fresh for me to be able to, like, place on a top five.
That's fair.
Like, it was very good, and, like, I do believe it does, like, which is why I put up my number six, because it does. It belonged near the top, somewhere near the top. I can't say where at this point. Like,
right.
It hasn't quite sat with me yet, but yeah, this game is really good. A lot of the meta stuff and, like, the horror really did, like, I won't say, like, it affected me, but, like, it really, like, did well to resonate in my mind. Like, especially because, like, I wanted to keep this for, like, when we do have the discussion. Did you guys look into any of the ARG stuff that's based around these games?
No.
Oh man.
Whole other game there.
Like, I'll there's like an hour and 20 minute video.
Oh wow!
That explains the ARG to this game because it is very in depth. Because
what's that?
Alternate reality game.
Where like it does stuff outside of the video game, like in the real world.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Like it's very creepy. Very like it makes us creepy and like just like absurd almost.
Mm-hmm.
If you want, I'll send you guys the video if you guys want to watch it, because it is very in-depth, and it goes through all of his past games, too. Like, it doesn't go through them, but there's a lot of, like, references to to this guy's past games. I forgot this guy's, like, the guy, like, because this is all, like, I won't say it's created by just one guy, but, like...
It was, like, his idea.
Like, yeah, this is his, like, project, like... Yeah.
Right.
We'll watch it in prep for the discussion.
Yeah, I'll find the video again and I'll put it in the Discord docket chat.
All right,
because it is wild. Yeah, that's my honorable mention. Inscription, very good game. Nice. I would suggest to anyone who like has any like semblance of card games or just likes horror even.
Oh yeah,
because like
it's creepy.
It is very creepy, and it's like not terribly hard to get a hold of, and it doesn't punish you too bad for dying.
Yes, yeah, I like that.
Right, yeah, it's like you just kind of restart, and it's not. Yeah. Super defeating or punishing.
Yeah.
All right, mine, I have three. Three really, it would kind of be like one, I think.
All right.
But I just put them just because I liked them.
Sure.
I put Subnautica Below Zero.
Oh, good call.
Finally came out. They've been pushing it back for almost years, it felt. It's very good. I actually didn't get to finish it. I kind of stopped... kind of maybe halfway through because other games came out and everything, but I'm definitely going to get back into it.
By the time that you did spend with it,
it's super fun. It's they just everything that Subnautica had, they just built upon it, and it's awesome. Then I put Pokemon Snap, the new one.
Oh, cool. I saw that. Like, I need to play that.
I definitely wouldn't put it in my top five at all, but it's very it's just a cool game.
Wait, that was this year?
It came out right before it came out. The day me and Jess got married.
Oh, that was like in March, wasn't it?
April.
What is this year, man?
I know. It's super cool. I mean, I loved the first one when I was a kid, so I just loved playing through this one again because it just brought back
memories. I need to borrow it from someone because...
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good-looking game, too, for a Switch, at least. And then my other one I put was Spider-Man Miles Morales, which I had just started playing.
Yeah.
But... it's very good. It just reminded me how much I loved the original Spider-Man game that came out a couple of years ago.
Mm.
And it just looks so awesome on the PS4, or 5. Mm. They have like the ray tracing, 60 frames, and it is a very good looking game.
Mm. Definitely.
So yeah, that's what I got.
All
right. All right, so next on our grab bag list is The Dark Horse. I describe it as a game nowhere near the top 5, but worth mentioning anyway. So, like, not even probably on your top 10, but enough to, like, worthy of talking about.
It's a game that stood out somewhat.
Mm-hmm. For me, it probably would be in my top 10, but I chose Loop Hero. It's because I also had a blast with that game, and I picked it up again recently just to see what else was new with it. Just, like, they changed, like, how you can speed up the loop and a lot of
that does feel,
and stuff.
The battle or movement speed and stuff is a good change.
But yeah, that game was cool. It was, a good game to like lose yourself in. You just watch your little stick figure man walk around in a loop and fight rats and slimes, and
it's just cool to see how far you can go. Mm-hmm. Like it's one of those games that you could just keep on like all day if you wanted to, if you got a good strategy going.
It's just cool watching the loop like progress, like every single time you started one, and just seeing like how you build stuff and you build like your own little formula with how you're gonna put things. But yeah, Loop Hero.
Okay. I'm actually gonna fly by the seat of my pants here. I'm gonna have two dark horses.
Nice.
First one is gonna be Persona 5 Strikers.
Okay.
It's a game that I got very close to the end. I didn't finish it because honestly, towards the end of it, I kind of was just like out of it. Like at first, I thought a lot of it was really cool. Like it played similar to like a Dynasty Warriors game mixed with
I thought it looked like with the Hyrule Warriors,
with like a little bit of like Kingdom Hearts elements pushed into it. Like so, like a lot of the exploration and like just like world exploration felt very Kingdom Hearts esque. But I don't know. Like after a while, it just kind of became
stale.
Yeah. Mm. Like even the story, I was trying to follow along, and like there were some really good points in the story that I liked, that like, you know, that like reminded me like of like all the things that I liked about Persona 5, but it didn't quite hit in the same like department. Like a lot of like the emotional story beats didn't quite hit for me for some reason.
Huh.
But the one thing that the game really wanted me to that made me feel was it made me want to take like a long like trip to Japan, and because the whole story is them basically going on a big like summer field trip.
Oh, cool.
Not like a field trip, but it's like a
trip.
Yeah, to say yeah, a big summer trip, a big old road trip. I'm like, mm-hmm. Damn, like
that'd be fun.
This looks really cool. Like because obviously it's like a cartoonized like
right.
take on Japan, but there is some essences of like that's what it is. You get the essence.
Yeah,
like,
right.
And it's like, man, like a lot of these places just seem really cool. Mm-hmm. Like,
be nice to see it in person.
Yeah, it'd be nice to see it in person. But yeah, I feel like it should be mentioned because I did think it was a good game. But it just got stale towards the end.
Okay.
And my second dark horse, I would say, is Mario Golf Super Rush.
Oh yeah,
nice.
Really good Mario Golf game. All things said. They supported it pretty well. They added a bunch of new characters, a bunch of new maps, all for free. But like, it's one of those games that you definitely need to play with friends. Like, if yeah. you're playing by yourself, it's like, yeah, this is cool, but only for like 2 or 3 hours.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
I did play a couple times with like streamers that I watch, and that was pretty cool. But like, outside of that, kind of a hollow game. Mm. I want to say hollow because there is other things like the battle mode's fun, like the idea of like running around on the field is really a lot of fun, but again, right. like when you're playing against CPUs, it can only be so much right. fun.
At the end of the game, it is still just a game about golf,
right? Which like I do like golf, like yeah. don't get me wrong, like,
but there's not that much else it can be,
right? But like, there's only so much fun that you can have with golf, even in real life playing by yourself, right?
Yeah, true. It's one of those games that you just really need to be with other people,
yeah,
for.
It relies on you playing with friends,
like Mario Party.
Nice.
Yep.
All right, Zach.
Mine is Shovel Knight Pocket Dungeon.
I forgot about that. Nice. I still need to play that.
It's very good. I mean, it's definitely like a. I think it's on phones. It's a puzzle game. So it's kind of like.
I think it's specifically not. Like, I remember people saying this game should be a mobile game, but it's not for some reason.
It should be. It definitely should be if it's not. But yeah, it's just a little bite sized puzzle game. It's actually pretty difficult. But no, it's fun. It's kind of like Pokemon Puzzle League, where you just like, you know, match things and chain things, and the music obviously is amazing. I just love anything Shovel Knight, so I've been playing that here and there. It's fun.
Okay, next, I'm realizing right now that this next part of our grab list could like very easily coincide with a different topic, glaringly absent.
Oh yeah,
a game that is shockingly not on our top five, which maybe was on other people's lists, or what a lot of people are saying is pretty good, but
you just didn't quite get there, yeah, for you.
Weirdly, mm-hmm. not there for you. Because for me, it is also my most disappointing game, and I'll explain that why
okay.
when we get to that topic. But for me, it was Deathloop.
Mm, interesting.
Oh, yeah, I forgot that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll explain a little bit more, but for this, it's just, it was, everyone was saying this game is amazing.
Right.
It's very fun, and everyone's right. saying it's like
get all like the 9 out of 10 and 10 out of 10 reviews.
It's like
and...
game of the year. It's like revolutionizing the whole like what was it, the Dishonored formula, and,
stealthy FPS.
Yeah, and I enjoyed like the first 15 minutes of the game.
Damn,
and, like nothing else like, really
shit. Yeah.
caught you.
And I'm gonna dive into that on the most disappointing thing.
In just yeah. a little bit.
I remember watching the Dunkey video on it, and he was kind of bringing up how I was like. There's so much you could do, but it kind of just falls flat,
right?
At times,
it doesn't. It, like you said with Hollow, it feels like it's all surface.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's gilded almost. It's
yeah.
gold on the surface, but the more you dive into it, it's just like I'm not really. Having
There's
a
no
great
depth
time.
Here.
Yeah, but
cool.
Sneak peek ahead to most disappointing. But
okay.
What about you guys?
My glaringly absent is Halo Infinite.
Okay, yeah, I was gonna say.
Well, I did really enjoy this game. Uh-huh. I feel like I'm trying to reserve judgment on it,
mm-hmm.
Because like at the moment I'm not quite happy with where the multiplayer is at. There are some structural problems that it needs to deal with, but once it gets there, I feel like that the game is going to be amazing.
Mm-hmm.
The campaign was fun. Story wise, it was a bit I actually read a comment just this morning that really made me think. It feels like Destiny 3.
Yes, where, I agree.
They do a lot of the noun, like you said.
Capital noun, yeah. A bunch of proper nouns.
And this person, that person. Yeah, Who are they? I don't know.
Right. They talk about all these people, but we never see them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, that's true. That's fair.
I know that's just them setting up for the campaign DLCs later on.
Yeah.
But like, still, like the game itself has such a grand foundation to work on, and a lot of like good direction in other places. Mm-hmm. That like, it still turned out to be a wonderful experience for me.
It's promising for the future.
Yeah, it's promising for the future, and it's still good right now, I would say, especially if you have like Game Pass.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, definitely.
It's definitely not a bad game.
So that's like my thing with it right now is like, at the very least, I've paid maybe $15 for this game, for Halo Infinite, mm-hmm. like just for that month,
mm.
and I'm like, you know what? Like, I guess I would say that was worth it.
Yeah, I would say so. Like, yeah, for $15,
like, it's so hard to gauge, like the value of a game if you're paying $15 to rent it for a month, essentially.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's interesting because I know a lot of people put more weight into a game if they do pay for a full price, or yeah.
Right.
So yeah, that's you say that's because that's
that has affected somewhat like where I am currently trying to judge this game.
Okay.
Because like I don't want to say that like cost is everything to a game, but I do think it's part of a game. Yeah. Like
one it of puts the, pressure like, upon the game almost because it it's does. Like it better be worth
you paid for this money. So now right, you like, better enjoy it.
Like I bought Inscription for like I don't even know how much. Like it wasn't a lot.
It was like $15.
Yeah, not even but, like, $20.
But I got like a lot of enjoyment out of that. Mm-hmm. Like it got to my honorable mention. But like if I paid $60 for that game,
mm-hmm.
that wouldn't have even touched this list.
No, that'd be
right, it definitely yeah. It's a fair thing because it has an effect because it's a barrier to entry, and if it right. costs that much, it better be worth it because it's preventing you from for a lot of people from buying a different game.
Right.
Same with time. Time is another currency. Basically, it's like I played this instead of this other game. Was it worth it?
Resource right. management.
Yes. Mm-hmm. RL.
So yeah, that's why it's glaringly absent. It does exist somewhere in that cloud, I guess, of, like in the top five games, because I did really enjoy like amongst all of them, like to the same, like to a similar extent.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't give it a number. I can't place it above or below one thing or another because it's just so amorphous right now.
That's fair. That's fair. It is in a weird state right now, so I understand that. Yeah,
especially with the multiplayer.
Yeah.
Mine is Metroid Dread.
Fair.
You guys flipped with that. Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Like, Danny showed me this article a week or two ago about bad games versus bland games and what is worse.
I saw that. I should have read that article. I didn't read it.
And it kind of made me realize maybe why I didn't like Metroid that much. It's definitely not a bad game in any way. It's a very polished and good game, and it did exactly what it wanted to do. But for me, at least, it just felt something about it just felt bland. Like I just got bored with it.
Mm-hmm.
Especially after playing Fusion after that,
mm-hmm.
I was like, Fusion is just I had a lot of fun with Fusion, but I'm like, why didn't I not have fun with Dread?
You're trying to like grab.
Yeah, I was very confused because I loved the DS one.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's just parts of that game where I don't know, maybe it's just the story or just.
I think for you it was the Emmy sequences, wasn't it?
That I mean, yeah, that and just not all the boss fights, but I mean the last boss fight and just everything in between the boss fights. It just didn't do it for me.
That's fair. If you're not down for the exploration, like, yeah.
It almost felt, like, not memorable. But that feels like a negative thing.
Well,
because
I
remember a lot of stuff from the game as well. But there's sequences where you could never really recall it if you were trying to think about it.
Right. I beat the game.
No, you're right.
I beat the game, and I'm like, maybe I just need to play it again. But I beat it, and I just honestly never looked back. Like, I just...
That's fair.
I'm just done with it. I'm glad I played it.
Yeah.
But
it was a fun experience.
Yeah, I don't know. It just didn't do it. And it's still, I'm still confused why, but that's where we are.
It's ripping Zach apart.
My morals are...
He's being torn asunder. Yeah.
So, yeah.
All right. Our next topic is the waiting to play. So, a game that you didn't have a chance to play, this past year, but if you're convinced that if you did, it would most likely have gotten onto your top five list. And for me, that is 1,000,000% Hitman 3.
Really?
Because I love the first two Hitman. Yeah.
And he refuses to play on Epic.
I refuse to play on Epic, and I'm going to get it soon because now it's on Steam. And man, I know the moment I play this game, if it just does more of the same as those first two games, yeah, and it's just a sandbox for stupidity and fun, insane stuff, I'm going to love that game. So, if, I mean, if I had played it, I'm sure it would have made it, but yeah. I will let you all know once I do.
When we get there. All right.
Mike?
For me, I got another two for on this one. First is Returnal.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I've heard so many good things.
Like, debating if I just want to, like...
get a PS5.
Get a PS5, or just wait for you and Jess to be out, and I'm walking you guys, and I'm just going to buy it with your credit card and Venmo you the money.
I am going to get it soon, because I've... Well, I'll get to that.
Yeah. And the other one is Final Fantasy VII Remake for PC.
Oh, man. Right.
Dude, that game is so good. It's so fun.
And it's so interesting because I hear so many different takes on it.
I liked it. The ending's kind of weird. The ending's very weird. But I don't know. I had fun with it. I know Nico had his qualms, but...
Yeah.
I thought the combat was always fun.
It is a very linear game compared to the original Final Fantasy VII, but I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing, especially when, like,
I would say the original is more linear.
Maybe. I don't know. But, that is on my waiting to play. And then, I almost didn't want to put it on here, because I technically can play the game. Nico gave me his Epic login to play the game.
Oh, there you go.
So it is just a matter of time. But I want to be in the right mindset for it. Mm-hmm. That's one thing that I've kind of noticed this year is that I have to be in the right mindset to really
You definitely have to sit down and go through it all.
Yeah, because for me,
because when you stop, it's hard to get back into it.
Right. For me, what comes to mind is actually Death Store. I feel like I wasn't in the right mindset when I played that game. And that might have affected why I didn't like it as much as you guys did.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair.
Yeah, I mean, that's a huge part of it, for sure, of, for anything. It's just, you never know, that can happen for, a movie you're watching, a game you're watching.
That's how I am with my woodworking stuff. Yeah. I know if I'm not in a good state of mind, I'm like, I can't do it. If I do force myself to do this, it's going to come out shitty.
Yeah. And that's another thing, just to bring back a topic that we've beat to death over and over again, was Last of Us 2.
Oh, okay.
I played Last of Us 2 immediately after playing Persona 5 Royal.
That's a huge two very tonal different shift.
Yeah, so I feel like that was a
upbeat
part of the reason
jazz
why
to dark depression anger
acoustic guitar. Yeah.
Oh my god.
So I feel like that definitely played a part of the absolute breakneck tonal shift might have caused me to be I don't want to play this right now.
You were suffering from whiplash. It's
I could see that.
I do want to play that game again.
No. And both of those games, I definitely feel you should play, because I think you would love Final Fantasy VII, honestly.
I do plan on playing it again. Absolutely.
The music is...
Or playing it for once. I haven't played the remake yet.
I think even Danny should play it for the music alone. It's so good.
I'll just listen to the music.
No.
Oh. Well, Mike, when you do play Last of Us, that's when we'll have our discussion. Oh, I can't wait for that.
Yeah.
Because that's a discussion I want to dive into. And
I'm going to play through it again, too, on the PS5.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to look great.
All right, Zach?
I have a big list. I'm going to get rid of one, though.
What are you getting rid of?
Deathloop. I want to try it out, but after...
Playing it anymore, you have persuaded this man.
Just wait till the next one.
Say no more.
I will confirm your reasoning.
Say no more. I won't play Deathloop.
You persuaded this man in real time to not play a game.
I know, he's talking, and I looked down, I was like, oh, shit, that's on my list. All right, never mind. mine is Returnal, obviously. I think I'm going to love that game, because I love roguelites.
Yeah, it looks really good.
Guardians of the Galaxy, because, like what Dan was saying, when they announced it, I mean, I've kind of been over the Marvel hype for a long time. So they announced it, I'm like, yeah, great. It's just going to be like the Avengers game that flopped, and it just sounded just cheesy and annoying, and I didn't really care for it at all. But then Danny, another one of my friends, was telling me that it's super fun. So maybe I'll give it a shot one day. I want to play it. I don't know how I'm going to play it, but I really want to play Forza Horizon 5.
You're so right. I also need to play that game, because I
want to play it.
You love those Horizon games, don't you?
I love them so much.
I want to play it, but I know it just won't run well on my PC.
Right. It probably will. A 1070 could probably hold up pretty well with that. You probably won't be able to max out your graphics.
Which I feel like for games like that, you kind of have to, though.
That, well, yeah.
It's part of the experience.
But yeah, it's also literally your only option, because I'm pretty sure that's,
or,
that's
Xbox, or an Xbox window. Yeah. 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 I mean, depending on what Xbox puts out in the coming years, maybe I'll get one, but no, I'm not buying just for Forza.
I'll also put that on my waiting to play.
No, it's too late. It's set in stone. And then my last one I really want to play, It Takes Two.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I heard that game is really
good. You should play with Jess.
Yeah, that's what I want to do, because it'd be funny because she's going to get so mad at me.
that's half the fun.
Yeah. So, yeah, we'll try that.
All right, here we go. The negative of the list.
The bad. We hate things.
The best part.
We're not all positivity and sunshine here.
No, we aren't.
Our most disappointing game of last year, which... okay, well, you already know what it is for me. It's Deathloop. I bought into the hype. Everyone was like, yeah, this game's great. It's like revolutionizing first-person shooters, and like it's so fun, and everyone loves Dishonored 1 and 2, except people didn't like Dishonored 2, so everyone's forgetting.
Yeah.
I almost bought into it, but I did not like Dishonored. So I was like, okay, I'm going to hold back because I don't want to go back down that road again.
And like people liked Prey, and so everyone's just like, sure, this game is also fantastic, and like I agree that the characters are cool. Well, I mean, the main two characters are cool. Everyone else is kind of boring, but the voice acting is really good, and the aesthetic is neat. It's like this weird 60s aesthetic.
Yeah.
Gameplay wise and story wise, and just the loop of Deathloop is I did not like at all. It was very shallow gameplay. Like I liked
shallow and pedantic.
I liked Dishonored. I didn't like that Dishonored like shamed you for doing whatever you want, even though they're like, hey, you have the keys to the kingdom, do this mission every way, you can kill everybody. And then at the end of the game, it's like, oh, you killed people? You're a horrible person. How dare
you? Why would you do that? Why would you do that even though we let you?
Yeah. So
basically wanted you to do it.
Yeah. Pretty much, and it's the easier way. So in Deathloop, they got rid of that. It's just, you can do stealth, but there's no reason to do stealth because the AI is idiotic, so you can just kill everybody, so just fine. And it felt so samey, and what they were selling with the idea of Deathloop, and maybe it's because I played Loop Hero, I liked the idea, and Outer Wilds.
Cyclical
thing. I thought it was going to be like a roguelite thing, like the story. It's like trying to nail this idea where there's all these big leaders in this weird conspiracy cult thing, and you need to kill them all in the perfect loop. So you're going to go and you're going to assassinate this person, and then you're going to go to this other area, assassinate this person, and you're trying to like figure out their roots or something. That's what I thought it was going to be.
Like you're like slowly making this grand scheme of a big play. Yeah.
Like a big Rube Goldberg machine where you're like, you flip one thing and then you have to be there at every single perfect moment to kill this person. That wasn't it. It was like a weird hashed together story where it's very linear and the loop almost doesn't matter because time doesn't move until you like go into a menu screen. What? It's so weird.
That's bizarre.
And I was thinking about it. I'm like, you know what game does do that perfectly? The idea where when this person you need to kill enters this room, and if you're there at that moment, you can get them. And then if you're not, you gotta wait till there's someone else.
Hitman.
Hitman nailed it, dude. Hitman is what Deathloop should have been.
Speaking of cycles.
Yeah. Like, in Hitman, the moment you enter those levels, it's on a cycle, like a time cycle.
So, everything is on a script. Like.
Yes. And
Hitman's a better Deathloop.
It's a better Deathloop. You'll see like a menu and be like, you can try to do this, like drop a chandelier on this person, but they won't ever enter this room again unless you're there at that moment in like the first 20, like 2 to 5 minutes. Otherwise, they'll be somewhere else. That's so cool because the levels where there's like multiple targets, it's a Rube Goldberg machine. You're like balancing stuff. You gotta like sneak around. You gotta like flip this switch, and you gotta drop this chandelier to move someone over to a different room. And that's what I thought Deathloop was gonna be, but in first person, like Dishonored style, like parkour maneuvering. And that wasn't it. And I being negative because I'm comparing it to another game. Just the gameplay wasn't that fun. The shooting was okay, but the AI was like boneheaded, and it just, you could like just like really cheese the game in a not fun way. And it was like the antithesis to Halo, where it gives you freedom but nothing really matters because it's just,
it was like the Donkey video, like he just was showing that like kicking is the best option in the whole game.
So like I don't understand the hype for it. It seems like people were thinking it's just a perfected Dishonored, but it just felt like a worse Dishonored. It's weird, very weird.
Yeah. I was really confused why I was getting like perfect reviews.
Yeah, that, I don't know. I have no idea. Like, it's fine. It's a fine game, but it's not perfect.
It's weird.
Yeah.
I feel like just very small side tangent. I feel like that has to do a lot with video game journalism responding to positive hype.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd say so
too. And
definitely correlates a little bit.
And giving it reviews that match the positivity, mm-hmm. rather than like actually being critical.
Right, because they don't want to. You know, who wants to be the guy that's like, I think it stinks, then everyone jumps on your throat and exactly. doxes you.
It doxes you, gives you death threats. Yeah.
It's just funny what's happening with that RCS game.
Yeah.
Because really? It's like, it's getting like really good reviews, but then there's like a couple of rogue places that are just like, I give this game a 6.
Yeah. And then their like, building's on fire the next day, mysteriously.
Right. Mm-hmm. Pokemon Twitter is simultaneously complaining that the game's not good enough, but then also hounding the people who are actually critical about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to try it myself and get the real take on how good this game is.
That's all you can really do these days. I feel like you can't trust what anyone says on the internet. You can
very subjective.
You can try to look for the really objective reviews and take what you can from that, but like, you can't take anything for like truly for granted when it comes to reviews nowadays.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just gotta either find someone who you know fits your opinion as close as possible, or
your viewpoint.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Or just try yourself. Honestly, all right, Mike. What's your most disappointing game?
My most disappointing game is Battlefield 2042.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I heard that was rough.
So if
let them have it.
If Outer Wilds is the best game that I've ever played, Battlefield 2042 is the worst game I never played.
Okay. Thank God.
That's a good thing.
It's a good thing, because I don't know.
Don't want to waste your money.
I wanted this game to be like Battlefield 3. 4 again.
Or 4, yeah.
I love Battlefield 4 a lot. Mm-hmm. Even at the beginning when it had a really troubled start, like I still thought the game had like a really good base. And for all I know, this game probably has a good base too. But as we were getting towards like release of this game, I just saw all of the signs and the warnings of what Battlefield 4 looked like with its troubled launch. And I was like, I want to play this game. It looks neat. It has a lot of really cool ideas, especially with like the Battlefield Portal stuff, with like how you can have like a team of like 4 futuristic spec ops versus like a platoon of World War II soldiers. I'm like, that sounds super cool to me. I love that. Uh-huh. That sounds really cool. I want to do that. I want to join in these really cool like what if scenarios, like
weird matchups and stuff.
Yeah, but the game just released and it was clearly in an unfinished state.
Just
it had
bugged to all hell.
It was very buggy, very directionless. Like you can tell that it was designed for a battle royale at first, and they just kind of scrapped it within the last 5 months.
You can still buy microtransactions though. That works. Well, don't worry about that.
Yeah.
You can still spend $20 on a stupid fucking skin.
Very disappointing. I wanted this to be like Battlefield 4 as it is now, like a finished, very like very well created game, and it just isn't. I'm hoping in like a year and a half or two, like it'll go on sale for like $15 and it'll be largely fixed. But I don't know if that's going to happen. They might scrap it. It's such a disaster.
Right. Yeah. They just released it for that to meet the schedule, at the end of the year.
That's absolutely what it was.
Move on from there. That sucks.
Yeah. It's a mess.
EA, right?
Yeah. EA and DICE.
Are you surprised?
Classic.
No.
I mean, kind of.
I mean, it is one of their bigger titles, and they kind of just messed it up. So,
So especially because like Battlefield 1 was really good. Battlefield 5 was kind of like, apparently like Battlefield 5 had a bit of a troubled thing where it's like it wasn't really like a bad game, like in terms of like it wasn't buggy and like awful in release, I think. But like it just had like really like absurd balance issues.
All right.
I actually played Battlefield 1 recently. Actually, kind of fun game.
Yeah, it is a cool idea.
Yeah, I played it a little bit too.
Like, I didn't think it was gonna be that great. I was like, oh, World War 1 is such like a whatever kind of.
Yes. Right. Like, so long ago, scene. It's just like
so long ago. And it's like the guns are ancient, but like they definitely like took some liberties that I think made the game a lot better for it.
That's good.
Zach.
I have. Mainly one, but there's a little kind of one. So the little kind of one that is disappointing to me is Jurassic World Evolution 2 on the PlayStation 5.
Oh, okay.
If it was on PC, I'm sure it'd be fine.
Okay. You scared me.
But on PS5, it's like locked in sometimes less than like 30 frames.
Yeah.
Which is really
weird. On PS5?
Yeah, which is so weird because I bought it on the PS5 because I thought it would run better than my PC. Mm. So I started playing it and I'm like, what the fuck is this? It's running at like 30 frames.
That's absurd.
Which is weird because the first one ran perfectly fine on my PC.
Right.
And it's only like a couple years old.
Yeah.
So like what happened?
I know. I'm so confused. And like everyone on Reddit's really confused too. Like, why did they not optimize this game to be on the, to not run well on a PS5? So that was weird. that kind of sucked.
Yeah.
So I haven't really, I'm hoping
they fix.
You've
been looking forward to
that game. Yeah. Like, they put out one update. I hope they put out a couple more updates for the PS5 because it really sucks.
That's unfortunate.
Because, yeah, I was really looking forward to that game.
And for all you know, it probably is still a good game. It's just
They added, like, they took what the first one was and they added a lot more of, like, management stuff to it, and it's super cool. Like, you can, it's not like how the first one was. It's definitely less linear than the first one, where it gets more complex, where you can, like, incubate, like, batches of dinosaurs, and you can, each one has, like, separate traits. You can, like, choose to not hatch certain ones, and you can hatch, like, four at a time, and I don't know. It's really cool, but, like, I don't want to, it's hard to play, because...
When is it such a suboptimal,
And it's not, it's just, it's not like it's locked at 30, like, that'd be okay, like, I'd get used to that. It's like, it chugs, it's really weird.
That's awful.
Yeah, that sucked. my most disappointing, though, is the Grand Theft Auto remaster.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's another thing. Because
I loved, like, Vice City and... San Andreas. And it just... I don't know what they did, but they just totally
really,
messed it up.
Really didn't do well.
Yeah, it was
that one.
So bad. Like, they fixed some things, and it's okay now, but... They could have just done so much more, and they could have really made this game
a real head scratcher.
Awesome.
That one.
Yeah,
I'm actually kind of glad that you mentioned that, because I think one of the reasons why like they remastered it to look so like bad is because they plan on porting it to mobile devices.
Yeah,
to
phones. That's what I heard as well.
Of course.
And I'm like, oh, that's why.
That's why it sucks.
Everyone
they're
must
idiots.
Suffer for their pockets to be lined.
Yeah, and it's just like who, like
I can see the anger in your face right now, like.
He's bleeding.
You can't tell me that you want to play Grand Theft Auto, but you have nothing else to play it on besides your stupid phone. That's so dumb. I hate
them. Also, why would you ever play your Grand Theft Auto on a phone?
Yeah, like, what? The Switch exists. The Steam Deck's about to exist. Like,
yeah.
Oh, God.
That's like...
The industry is so focused on phones, and it's so dumb.
I was looking at the Google Play Store, and I saw that Rome Total War... You can play on Android, which is, you know, it's geared for, like, tablet, like Android tablets. But it's so funny, the idea of playing a grand-scale RTS on your tiny little phone.
Right. Like,
but why would you do that? It's so weird.
Oh, my God,
like, it's like, it really can't be overstated, like, just how profitable phones are.
It is. That's what makes me mad.
Yeah, like, because like,
it'll never end.
Yeah.
When I was on the Wikipedia page looking over like all the different releases over 2021, one of the things at the top was like top 10 grossing mobile games, and like Genshin Impact was like number 3 with like $1.8 billion. And I was like, you want to say that one more fucking time to me?
I'm like almost against anything. Like, I downloaded Wordle on my phone. I'm like, no, I'm better than this. I played on my fucking PC.
Wait, what game?
Wordle. And I'm like, I am not going to be part of the problem.
Part of the problem.
That game's freezing.
So, yeah. It doesn't matter. I don't care.
It's principle
at this point. So, yeah, that made me upset.
That's fair. Yeah, that was a weird thing.
I was really looking forward to that.
But, yeah.
Our next topic, the game of yesteryear. Game that... it didn't come out this past year, maybe nowhere even near this past year, but you played it finally and you're like, you know what, that's pretty good, I like that, worth mentioning. For me, it was two games. It was Tetris Effect, because it finally came out on Steam, and that game is very good.
It looked nice.
And Outer Wilds, I played that last year, finally played all the way through, even though I technically started playing in 2020. That game is just incredible.
Nice.
Incredible.
For me, my game of yesteryear was Darkest Dungeon.
Oh, nice.
What a fantastic game.
Yes.
That game's great, and also very painful at the same
it
time.
It is, but, like, the painful never feels so bad, because, like...
Did you actually finish it?
I did.
Okay.
All the way
damn.
Through.
Wow, you
even the Darkest Dungeon?
Yeah.
I always get to the darkest dungeon.
Yeah, that's when I called it quits. Yeah. It was too punishing for me.
I did that three times.
It was rough. Especially like when you get to like the flesh maze, when you have to like get to the center of it and everything. I got to that and I 100% cheated. I looked up the map.
Oh, that's fine.
Because I was just like,
I probably should do that.
I don't want to suffer more than I need to. I don't know. Just what a great game. Like, it does a really good job of, like...
I think that was on one of my... When last time we did it, I talked about Darkest Dungeon. I loved it.
Just a great game. A lot of fun. Like, it's been... Darkest Dungeon is what I want Pokemon to be.
Yeah.
Like, Darkest Dungeon is what I wanted OG Final Fantasy games to be.
I can see that, too. I can see that, too.
Dare I say, arguably the best narration in a game ever.
Oh easily the best. Nothing contends to it.
Yeah. If not within the top five.
Yes.
Somewhere.
So back to the Wayne pits. June. Got a great voice.
That's why I'm hyped for the second one.
Yeah.
And I will make a quick shout out to Tetris Effect as well. Yes. That was an experience.
Yes. It's so good. It's so good.
I need to play it again now that I have a 3070 Ti.
Ooh.
Because last time I played it was on the 1080.
It's very pretty.
Hell yeah.
Just get lost in the blocks.
In all the particle effects. Yeah,
let them consume you.
My favorite one was the jazz scene.
Yes.
That one was a lot of fun.
Yeah, like the city in the background. Yeah.
I have three.
All right.
Mine, top one is Hades. So I played most, I started playing it at the end of 2020, but I played through most of it during 2021.
Okay.
Perfect game.
I will have to agree with you on that.
So good. 7 Days to Die. Started getting into that again.
Oh, yeah.
It's just fun to play. I don't know. That, yeah. It's just a fun game.
It's such a jank game, but so, it's just so fun.
It's just fun to play with all your friends. It's hilarious. Mm-hmm. And then Binding of Isaac.
Oh, yeah.
So you
finally got into it.
Yeah. I got into it last year. I mean, I played it before, obviously, because I got it for free once on my PS4, like way back when...
like PS Plus?
Was it Repentance? Yeah. No. Is that the new one?
That's the newest one.
Okay, so not Repentance. It was...
Afterbirth, probably.
Afterbirth Plus.
Yeah. I had fun with it.
Keep track of that stuff.
Yeah.
That's weird. But I think I have like almost 300 hours in that game.
Hell yeah.
Like, it is such a good...
It is...
It's such a good game.
It was fun watching your journey.
Yeah. Because
like, you picked it up when I was like completely finished with it.
Like walking away from it.
Yeah, like, oh, this is cool. It was like I was living vicariously through you.
You get that rush again of seeing someone else do what you did. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It really is like just the top roguelike game.
It set the stage for everything else after.
Seriously.
It.
Yeah. It is a good game.
All right. And our last grab bag topic is best moment of 2021. Mine, I'm going to do a cop-out and say that basically all of Inscription or Echoes of the Eye, but I can't say what because it's spoilers.
Right, for anyone else who might want to be playing it.
Yeah, but just the experiences of those games was just
phenomenal.
So many like mind-blowing, jaw-dropping. I'm like, I can't believe a game is doing this. Why did no one ever think about something like this? So, yeah, those two games.
Nice. My best moment of 2021 was taking 4 days off work just to play the Endwalker story.
Oh, hell yeah.
And not even finishing the story in time. There was that much.
That's good.
Get
to come back to it felt
like it took me so long to get through the story. And like, I was taking my time, but like, I also was just doing the story. I didn't do any side quests. There's so much content.
Beefy.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Mine was probably... I mean, there really wasn't like a big moment, but I think for me at least, I think it was just when Halo Infinite came out, like the campaign and the multiplayer, just playing through both and just kind of like reigniting my love for Halo.
Yeah.
It was just fun to play Halo again.
Yeah.
Because it's been so long since I played it. I mean, I played a little bit when the Master Chief Collection came out and I played Halo 3 and it felt good, but I don't know, this one just definitely... just made me realize how much I really like playing Halo.
It brought you back. All right, that was our grab bag of all our game choices for 2021. And now, we look forward. We look into the future for 2022 with our thoughts for the year and our predictions. And I mostly just want to do this because I want to be able to come back and be like, hey, how right was I or how wrong was I?
Was I huffing that copium?
Yeah. So... we'll have some predictions here, some wacky, crazy stuff, and to see
my mind goes off the rails.
And then I also want to like I want all of us to guess what we think our game of the year for 2022 is going to be.
Oh, don't do this.
It means nothing because who knows what will come out.
Mm.
But we'll get to that. So my predictions really quick. I'll just list them off. For 2022, Silk Song will definitely come out this year.
I forgot to do that.
Hey, Zach, is Silk Song out yet? Sequel to Teen
Not
Cherry's?
Yet, but maybe this year.
Maybe February?
Maybe within the next 11 months.
I think Breath of the Wild 2 will be delayed. But I think it'll come out this year, but it'll be the very
late. Holiday. Okay, I could see that.
I have a feeling they'll like announce it, and then they'll say, hey, just kidding, December.
Hold up.
Yeah, that's believable. That's tangible.
I think God of War 2 will also be the same thing. It'll come out this year, but it'll be delayed. Like, there's a
small delay, like 2 months, like midsummer.
I think they'll try to slate it for summer, and then maybe it'll come out like fall.
Okay.
We'll see. I think Bethesda will have no major releases.
No,
but there's rumblings that they're going to like release Starfield or something.
Yeah, that big game that they have no idea.
Yeah,
no one has
seen
any
a
idea.
Single thing about.
But that's their MO. They'll always be like, say nothing and then hey, by the way, this is coming out in 4 months.
Yeah, and then it sucks.
They did that with Fallout.
And
4.
Fallout sucked.
Yeah, they did that with Skyrim. It's like, we'll see. But I think nothing will come
out. Bethesda bad. There, I said it.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
So this might already be changing, this next one, because of what recent news is, but I said either the destruction or redemption of Blizzard games.
It could be either way now.
It's such a tipping point. Like,
it is
the
teetering
finest
on the edge.
This is either going to save them or be the nail in the coffin.
Yeah, we'll see.
The thing is, like, if they do bounce back, Microsoft will be a goddamn hero.
Yeah,
like,
and a juggernaut.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, too.
They will. They will probably be ahead of pretty much everyone for a long time.
So we'll see where that goes.
Well, especially because like a lot of like people who see like video games like in the future are gonna move towards like these like Game Passes and like in the game streaming and stuff. Like, so like imagine like the Game Pass has become the future of consuming these games.
World of Warcraft on Game Pass?
Well,
I'm telling you, World of Warcraft's gonna be on Xbox. That's for damn sure.
That'd be crazy.
I don't know if I believe that.
I think it would. I mean, MMOs work on consoles now with Final Fantasy. Why wouldn't they put it on Xbox?
That's true. I don't know.
Maybe they'll just force WoW 2 to come out.
WoW 2?
Realm
Reborn.
But if they did that, I've actually suggested this to Kappa. Like, I was like, I feel like one of the best ways to fix WoW would be to like do like a massive like redactment of all their shitty story that they've been telling for the past 10 years.
Honestly,
just wipe it. Like,
just wipe it and then just start fresh and learn from your mistakes. I'm sure that would actually bounce back WoW further than Final Fantasy is currently.
Probably.
Mm-hmm.
My next prediction was, this is also might already happening, but, I said PSVR is going to take off in a huge way.
Oh, you think so?
I think so.
I think the new one they've been talking about looks nuts.
Yeah, they've already announcing, or there's like rumors of PSVR 2 for PS5, and I have a feeling.
That's a rumor. That was announced.
All right. Yeah. So it's announced already. So, but I think Sony's going to push it and it's going to be huge, and, Half-Life Alyx will be on it and it's going to be
true. They did say that.
I feel like they're seeing they're looking at the tea leaves in the cup and they're being like, VR is huge.
It's taking off slowly.
Yes.
But like, I can see what you mean by like an explosion of it. Yeah.
Once it leaves that niche space and can get more consumer friendly, I think a lot of people
will
be more
like
cost effective.
Yeah.
Depends how much PSVR 2 is going to be.
Yeah. I mean, PSVR original was expensive, but it was still more reasonable than like the $1,000
index.
There's a Steam one.
But the index also had a lot of better features.
It was much better. But so we'll see. We will see.
That'd be interesting to see what happens.
And then my last one, I think the Steam Deck will take forever to ship. But they're saying it's going to ship in a couple months, but it's just going to go to those lucky quarter one people. I'm quarter three or something.
Right.
So we'll see. But I think it's even going to get more delayed. But I think it's going to be the most impressive hardware that will drop this year. I think it's going to blow everyone's minds.
That's actually one of my predictions too.
Yeah, mine was, will the Steam Deck be a true contender to the Switch?
It might be.
And I'm pretty sure it will be, depending on how many people buy it.
Are those all your thoughts and predictions?
That's it. All right, Mike.
Yeah, mine. Steam Deck is actually going to be really cool.
I hope so.
Last of Us 1 and 2 on PC.
Oh, yes, please.
Elden Ring actually lives up to the hype, ending an age of highly anticipated AAA games, shitting the bed.
Right.
When does that release?
Next month.
Oh, wow. All right, we're close.
We'll find out. Final Fantasy 16 ends an age of single-player focused Final Fantasy games being mediocre. Thank you, Yoshi P. Mario Party Superstars gets content updates, please. Metroid Prime 4 gets 2024 release date.
2024? 2024. That's such a safe, I love it. That's so reasonable.
Platinum Games reads my mind and makes Bayonetta 3 the best character action game to date.
I forgot about that game. Oh my
God. Silk Song does not release.
Mike, why would you do this to me?
Alternatively, new F-Zero, Copium.
Copium. If a F-Zero game comes out this year, I will...
Before Silk Song.
Yeah, I will... I gotta find something to do. I'll explode. I'll burst into flames. I'll self-immolate.
I'll eat my Switch.
I will break my Switch apart and eat it.
My last prediction, the Mario movie is so cringe I die.
God. No.
Well, it's now we have to all see it.
We planned on it. Don't even think for a second we all weren't going to see this as a massive
group. Yeah, we need to see it.
Oh my God. Okay, I like that. I hate you for Silk Song, though. Don't put that evil in the world, please. I just want... Okay, Zach?
My prediction is I think this will be the year of PS5.
Nice.
I think there's going to be some big games coming out that PS5 is going to...
Bold and true.
That's true, yeah.
Gonna,
you got that Horizon, you got that God of War.
Horizon, God of War, I don't know, whatever else they put out.
That's all you need.
Hopefully Dying Light 2 is good.
Oh, man, I really
comes out in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
Silk Song? Maybe?
Maybe. Nobody knows?
Please, God.
Just want to play more? Okay.
Pokemon Gen 9 reveal this summer. I was just talking about Kappa yesterday about that.
Mm-hmm.
Mario Kart 9. I saw some rumors a couple weeks ago about things are going around. Maybe.
We're really due for a Nintendo Direct.
Yeah.
We are.
How do you iterate upon perfection, though?
Because like the last couple Directs have just been really heavy on Pokemon stuff.
Honestly, if they just went like super like... If they went full Diddy Kong Racing, I wouldn't be upset.
Yeah, just had airplanes,
boats. Of actual trains and like, yeah, not trains. Yeah. God, no trains. Who knows? Planes.
It's very linear.
Yeah, yeah, like planes and like actual like boats, like boat, like the boat type things. Yeah,
we'll see. I don't know, but yeah, it's like what you're saying. I feel like there's going to be a really big direct coming up on the horizon. It's either going to be
smack us in the face.
It's either going to be 10 more JRPGs, or it's going to be like, holy shit. We'll see.
I guess I'll add one last prediction. Nintendo will do something really stupid involving online.
It would be the, what is it? Nintendo Switch Online plus GameCube. It will be $70 a year.
70 additional dollars.
On top of, it doesn't include the N64 one.
Yeah.
But to not end it on a negative thing, they will release a fun game.
Hopefully.
They will earn the favor of their fans.
Like a true toxic relationship.
You're not wrong, though. That really is what it is, though. Yeah. I almost put the Nintendo 64 like online as my most disappointing.
Yeah, that was rough.
So weird.
Because that could have been so much better.
So we'll see.
They added Banjo-Kazooie to it, and I'm like, damn.
Yeah, I saw that.
Because I've been wanting to play Banjo-Kazooie again, but like I don't have a way to play it like without like emulating.
Mm-hmm.
Which I could just do that,
yeah.
But it's very viable. But I also just don't want to.
Yeah.
I don't know, especially because I would really like to play the Xbox 360 re-releases of it,
right?
Because apparently, like those actually have like upscaled graphics in some way, and like I'm like, that sounds nice.
That'd be cool.
But maybe. I don't know. I've heard the emulation for the Banjo-Kazooie release actually isn't bad.
Oh, okay.
Surprisingly enough, like after how bad everything else was.
Worth that extra money, though?
Not yet.
Yeah.
I still need them to release the first three Mario Party games.
And Majora's Mask.
And OG Mario Golf.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, true.
Majora's Mask is on its way, though. That's been confirmed.
Yeah. All right. Well,
see. I feel like this year is promising to be pretty big, I feel. I feel big things coming this year.
I think this is going to be a big, like, industry year.
Yes. Yeah.
Like,
the tent poles are coming out.
Well, there will be good games, but I'm talking about, like industry, like, standards.
Oh,
like,
okay.
Like Blizzard Activision being on the forefront of everyone's, like, vision right now, like, is going to change how the industry, hopefully, will change how the industry is going to be conducting itself.
Yeah, thankfully.
I think it'll be a good thing to watch.
I hope so.
Big hope.
We hoping, boys.
So, yeah, we'll look back at the end of this year to see what came through, what didn't.
Where are we going to be in 11 months?
And then I'm just saying, if I actually correctly call F-Zero,
I will leave my Switch. It's fine. It's fine.
You'll have a Tales Steam Deck.
I don't want to live in a world where F-Zero comes out and so.
I'm taking your cat.
Yeah, okay. he won't need a Switch because he'll have his Steam Deck.
That's true.
I can't play F-Zero on that.
I'll find a way. So really quick.
Oh, that's actually an idea. I wonder if you can be able to like put emulators on Steam.
Well, I heard because you can run some kind of Windows on it, you can.
Yeah, it's like basic, it's like basically a computer.
So like the most BM thing someone could do is play Breath of the Wild on their deck.
It probably won't be powerful enough, but
well, we'll see. Apparently, you can play God of War.
Yeah, someone was playing God of War on it.
That's okay. That's kind of wild.
But probably not as good looking as on PS5, but it was running. So
right,
it didn't blow up the deck.
I'm sure the Steam Deck could run it, but the emulation is so inefficient. Is what I'm getting towards.
That'd be tricky to pull off. But so really quick, and I know that there's always those shadow drop games that'll come out and they'll
throw blow our minds.
Because I didn't know Inscription was going to come out until it came out, and that
Cult of the Lamb's coming out soon. That game looks cool.
But what games of the ones that we know that have been announced? Which one do you think might possibly be your number one?
Elden Ring.
Elden Ring? Okay.
I mean, if God of War comes out this year, it has to be God of War.
It will be, yeah, God of War 2. Because I love the first one so much. If it's just more of the same, plus a little,
Do you have any plans to play Elden Ring, Danny?
I do, actually, because I liked Sekiro.
That's true. Oh, you played Sekiro?
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
I liked it. And then I like Bloodborne, because I was progressing.
You did revisit that, which I'm glad you did. Have you still been sticking with it?
Not yet. There's just so much other stuff. But I was enjoying it, and I will get back to it. I still have only just beat Father Gascoigne.
Okay.
I might get it, because I was saying that they are making it less stressful for players, but keeping the difficulty.
Yeah.
Which was my whole thing. It's just stressful, managing. The constant... Like repetition.
Death is so punishing.
That's what kind of just draws me away from those games, because I think they look cool. Mm-hmm. I want to play it.
I'll definitely.
But, I don't know, we'll see.
I'll put some time in between its release and when I play it. It won't be right away, but I will. I want to try it. So.
I think I'm going to get pretty close to release personally. Nice.
Let us know. All right. We'll see. We'll see what happens. Yeah. 2022. It's a new year, and we'll. There's a lot of games to play.
So much to do. So many games.
Well, there we go. That was our retrospective and look into the future episode. Thanks, everyone, for listening. If you have any thoughts or contentious ideas for what we didn't put on our list or what we did, get in touch with us on social media, theschlubcast@gmail.com, or the Twitter one, too. And,
definitely on there.
Definitely on there.
We need to hire a...
social media.
Social media engineer.
One day.
If we make it the title engineer, it'll sound important.
Yeah. Any last thoughts, guys, before we sign off?
I'm hopeful for this year.
Yeah, 2021 wasn't the worst. It definitely wasn't a banger, but it definitely wasn't the worst. It
wasn't 2019.
But,
Wait, you know what? I'm changing my mind. My number one game for this year will be Silk Song. All right, guys. Thanks, everyone, for listening.
Bold words. Bold words. Hopefully you didn't jinx yourself.
Why did I do this?
I bet you thought Anthem was going to be good, too, didn't you?
Thanks, everyone, for listening. We're the Schlubcast.
I thought Anthem was going to be good.
Yeah, everyone did. We'll see you guys next time. Stay tuned for our review for Inscription, and then everything else we've done this year.
Yeah.
Thanks, everyone, for listening. See you later.
Have a good day.